Hello, listeners. This is producer John. Open Pike Night is going to be at Trek Long Island 2024. From May 31st to June 2nd, Cameron and myself, producer John, will be in the Big Apple living long and prospering. We'll be hosting a panel. We'll be giving out stickers. We will have our microphones. Be sure to follow Open Pike on social media and subscribe to openpike.substack.com because we also will be giving away some Trek Long Island weekend passes. Trek Long Island is May 31st to June 2nd at the Hyatt Regency in Hopog, New York. Is this thing on? Hello, hello. Producer John's log, Open Pike Night, STLV coverage,
co-host log, stardate August 3rd. I am eager to meet up with my boys John and Jesse for our second in-person weekend and our second convention ever.
Jesse's log, Star Trek Las Vegas 2023. I had an absolute blast. I, as many of you know, had never been to a Star Trek convention before. I mean, we went to Fan Expo Portland, but that was more of a general Comic-Con style convention. It wasn't Star Trek specific.
Prepping for STLV, a first time goer, it takes some work. STLV is not a cheap convention to go to or to get to. It's a big deal. It's a big convention. As we got closer and closer to the date and organized our tickets and travel and lodging, it definitely became apparent that this was a different size and different style of convention than Fan Expo Portland was.
Star Trek Las Vegas. Now, our experiences at Fan Expo Portland, they certainly set the bar high, and I was a quiver with anticipation at what this weekend would bring.
We could really tell, like, there was some moments there where we were kind of taken aback at how few people were watching the latest Star Trek shows, especially Strange New Worlds, and the exact opposite was happening at Star Trek Las Vegas. It was 100% Trekkies. And I actually had also never been to Vegas before, so it was like a double whammy of just brand new, amazing experiences for me.
I want to give a huge shout out to the Strange New Pod Discord. They helped point me in the right direction for joining some resources to get potentially discounted tickets to the convention, which we were able to do. So yeah, huge shout out and thank you for the support. We did reach out to the organizers and they said, we don't really do anything with podcasts, kind of weird in 2023, and that we had to have United Nations level press credentials. This is a freedom of the press country, so that's a little strange to have press credential requirements. Just saying.
John, of course, being the responsible producer that he is, drove out so that we would have access to a vehicle while we were in Vegas, and he stopped and picked up, like,
I've been to Vegas enough times, and I learned some lessons at the Portland convention. I decided to stock us up at Costco so that we would not be at the mercy of Vegas restaurants or constant fast food or anything like that, and we would stay hydrated. So I got some bottles of water,
a flat of water, a bunch of snacks, like things that would keep us, you know, walking around the con floor without, you know, being exhausted. So protein bars, granola bars, these really, really good, like, dried cheese snack things. I don't know what they were, but they were amazing. I ate like most of a bag of those to myself.
Got some little fruit pouches, mixed nuts, stuff like that. Just, you know, pod fuel. Oh, yeah. Coffee. Plenty of coffee.
I think John got into Vegas first. No, I got to Vegas first because I flew super early.
I decided to drive.
You know, flying in, I could see that brand new sphere. That was really cool.
I rented a car, picked it up, and it was nice to have a nice, more modern ride than mine. Something I could throw in cruise and just bomb down the highway. And it also let me load up with some gear. So I brought our requisite podcast remote recording gear.
So I got to Vegas first, and the airport had slot machines in it, which kind of set the tone, right, for the whole trip. And they also had, like, Kylie Jenner makeup vending machines. I mean, they had a lot of different kinds of vending machines. Any kind of item that you want is in a vending machine.
It was a good drive down interstate most of the way. The weather was pretty decent. It's always fun to slalom through the tiny bit of Arizona on I-15 that gets you into Nevada. And Jesse arrived at McCarran and was sending me messages now and then. And I could tell, oh boy.
All of the restaurants in the airport were not great, but it was cool that you could just go in and tap like your card on your way out. Just pick whatever you want, tap your card on the way out, and you're done. It's the most efficient airport I've ever been into. When I was leaving, I timed it from the front entrance to the actual gate. Took me like 20 minutes. It was amazing. They had like 14 security lines open. Everything was running really smoothly.
Tried to get there as fast as I could to pick him up. Pulled up. We had to coordinate a little bit to find the right rendezvous spot to pick him up. But once he got there, stepped out of the AC and into the heat.
It was very hot. Once we all finally met up, we decided to go find some food.
It's August in Vegas. Of course it was hot. Waited around for Cam's flight to arrive. Luckily, it was on time. And we snagged him, and off we went to find some food. Had a pod vote, saw a place that looked good, and went there.
And we found this great little taco place off the strip. It was very good, incredibly nourishing, exactly the kind of thing that you want to start a long day with.
After a quick taco break, we immediately hit the con floor.
Got to the convention, and parking was not too bad. There's a garage there at the Rio, but man, that garage is at the exact geographical farthest spot from where the convention was. We definitely put miles on our feet just walking between the parking garage and the convention floor while we were there. And the first long walk we took was through the Rio, looking for where we were supposed to check in and get our badges and everything. And the closer we got, the more Trekkies we saw, the more costumes we saw, the more Federation Starfleet outfits we saw. So we just followed the line of Trekkies back and found the registration.
Maybe we just got lucky with the timing, but registration went super quick and smooth. We got our badges, we got our bracelets, all the staff we talked through, I just want to say now, were super helpful and great.
We got the full Vegas experience. Like I assume we did.
Hit the floor and did some recon.
The lobby had that great big Borg centerpiece, which I'm sure you've all seen hundreds of pictures of. That was cool. Had to get our picture in front of that. But we quickly got on to what the cons are all about. The people.
This is a physically big convention, and it is in a casino. So the layout, they had maps around, and they had maps in the pamphlets. I will say, for all the issues that I have with the way this convention is run, information was mostly extremely easy to find.
Thursday was a good day to be there. There were fewer people there, of course.
It was incredible meeting so many of you longtime friends, collaborators, listeners, all in the flesh. The flesh. That was creepy. We ran into Cam and Scott from the Spy Hard podcast, longtime listener Jen and her husband.
Really great to actually be able to shake hands and say hey.
Jesse from Crusher Convo and her family, and true to her podcast name, she got me a conversation with Crusher herself, Gates McFadden.
But there were still tons of celebrities, and some of them even had tables in the vendor hall. So you could just like walk up and talk to the celebrities. You didn't necessarily have to buy a ticket.
She brought me up. I had my little Tiny Wes, I think she called him, and she had Little Bev, I think. Some sort of diminutive Bev and Wes. We had our action figures, and she was getting a picture with Gates and brought me up. I may have helped facilitate an interview between those two evens. So the podcast networking was off to a great start within like an hour of being in the convention. It was super exciting.
So we checked out the merch room. I was really surprised to see that almost half the merch room was taken up with autograph tables.
It was actually a little smaller than I thought it would be. The merch seemed a little limited. You know, there's a lot of like signed posters and lobby cards, a couple of good kind of jackets and costumes, dealers, a couple of small jewelry stands, but really not a lot. The Tribble place was cool. I wound up getting a couple of Tribbles for my kids, and they were excited for that. But yeah, after like the conventions I've been to at Portland, this was definitely not about the merch or the vendors.
Familiarizing ourselves with the layout of that and where people we wanted to meet up with were. Some folks were there, some folks weren't. It was Thursday. There was still setup going on. Everybody was just getting their feet under them. There definitely wasn't full attendance because of the weekday.
So that was really, really cool. I recommend if you go in the future to go on Thursday. It seems to be the easiest day to get all of the signatures and photo ops that you want. The only catch there is that some folks didn't show up, like some of the actors didn't show up till Friday or Saturday.
I think what surprised me about the merch and autograph room is it closed at 6 p.m. I think it stayed open an hour later than that the next few days, but it was closed and done.
Definitely try Thursday, but you know, I have to recommend going to every day because that's what we did and it was so much fun.
After our initial visit, we went back and I got us checked into the hotel and we carried all the gear in because, again, it was 106 degrees in Vegas and we didn't want to leave all our gear and meltable food in the car.
Had a great time watching TOS with the boys while we were making sticker packs.
Because I figure with 8 different stickers, instead of us trying to fumble around and hand people one of each from different pockets, I had got some little Ziploc baggies to organize so we could just put one of each in there and just have them easy on hand to distribute to listeners, fans, old fans, new fans, celebrities, whoever, security guards. Once we had those all put together, consensus was, hey, we're hungry.
Went out for a stroll on the strip.
If you've never been to Vegas before, and Jesse learned this fact, they don't show you the walking in the commercials, but my God, are you going to walk nonstop in Las Vegas? And we did that. We walked and walked and walked. And I think we had walked about 6 miles through the convention that day already. And by the time we were done walking across the interstate to get dinner, we ended up walking another 6 miles that night.
Quick story here. We had made up some name badge stickers that said, hello, my name is, and then you write your name. And then below it says, I fly the ship, you know, like Ortegas. Anyway, we were wearing those and they were a big hit at the con. We'll have them up in the store very soon, I promise. But I forgot I had mine on while we were walking through the strip, and a couple of hot cop strippers who I think they just tried to get you to take pictures with them. I wasn't really sure what the gimmick was, but they were wandering around saying hi to all the guys. And they walked by me and were like, hey, Cameron. And for a split second, I thought John and Jesse had punked me and hired him to give me a hard time. I don't know. And then I remembered I had this sticker with my name on it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So just smiled awkwardly and kept walking by. But yeah, I had a good time on the strip, had some giant pizza.
I think it was pinup pizza, giant slices of pizza. But we got to stand at a railing and watch the Bellagio fountain go off.
Made way too many Ocean's 11 references in front of the fountain.
Pretty cool experience, especially for Jesse being there the first time. A lot of street performers out that night. It was pretty indicative of like, yeah, if you've never been to the strip before, a Thursday night is packed. Just a Thursday night.
But yeah, good time.
Trudged all the way back to the hotel and we passed out. In fact, I think everybody passed out that night. We had tried to get our Subspace Rhapsody group viewing together to happen that night. And everybody was just like, no, man, I got to fall asleep. Not just us, but everybody we invited.
Friday, the next day, big day.
Cam and I woke up first, kicked Jesse's mattress, woke him up, and we got geared up.
We woke up early to get to the convention early to try to snag some of those autographs. I had a number of TNG autographs I wanted to get.
We started the morning off in different spots. I had to go get myself a Delta because, like an amateur, I had left my Delta at home. So I picked one up, talked to Mark Patton, our buddy over at Heroes in Action. It was good to see him. His booth was busy all weekend long.
Now, you all heard about, you know, our signature opportunities that we got with the cast, because we talked about those and we put those signatures on our apron that we just gave away to our lucky patron Delita.
Open Pike Night was filling up our apron for the giveaway with all the Strange New Worlds actors we hadn't met yet.
That was so cool, like to finally meet some of the people that we have interviewed, to meet them in person just really amplified my enjoyment of the show.
We never ate lunch. All the days we were there, the last lunch we ate was the big taco meal on Thursday. After that, it was purely just con snacks from Costco. As a group, we got in line for Christina Chong. She was sitting at a table in the merch room right next to Anson. And man, we were watching them both work their way through their lines. And Anson is an autograph machine. He was laser focused.
We met Chrissy and each got a copy of her CD.
So we introduced ourselves. It was pretty obvious what group we represented because we were all wearing big Open Pike Night signs on our chests with our t-shirts that morning. She was thrilled to see us. We had a great little chat. She signed out the apron.
She was thrilled to hear about it. She was just so bubbly. You could see her across the room having a great time interacting with fans.
If you heard our interview with her several episodes back, she brought that same kind of energy to the convention. If you haven't heard the interview with Christina Chong, listen to it after this. Listen to all our interviews. They're really good. So Marina and LaVar were right next to each other, and Cam needed both their signatures. It was a little bit of a game of musical chairs because their lines were long, and we wanted to make sure we gauge the speed. That's something you got to do with autograph lines, is not just look at how long they are, but look at how fast they're moving and who you should probably get to first. And so while we were waiting for Marina, Stashwick was right next to her, Todd Stashwick. And man, I've been a fan of Todd Stashwick for a long time. And I was like, I got to do it. I got to get Stashwick's autograph. So I hopped over, had a good chat with him. We talked about Trek a little bit, but mainly I told him, hey man, your episode of Sarah Connor Chronicles Terminator TV show is one of my favorites. It's a great episode. And he signed, got a selfie with him. And man, he is just a cool guy. He seemed to truly enjoy being there and interacting with everybody. It really felt like Todd Stashwick is somebody who remembers being a fan of this. And now here he is, one of the most popular parts of one of the new Star Trek shows. And here he is on the other side of the table, signing autographs and getting adoration. And it was just great to meet the man.
I was in line to get Michael Dorn's autograph and realized I was just short on the cash I needed. His handler was incredibly sweet and lent me $10, so I wouldn't lose my place in line. Now, I didn't want to destroy Michael Dorn's handler's faith in humanity, so I had to pay her back before they left. But I couldn't find my boys anywhere. It was like one of the few times I was floating adrift solo. I did, however, find Scott from the Spy Hearts pod, who graciously lent me the tenner so I could pay back the handler. Then I found Jesse, who lent me the money to pay back Scott. And then finally, I wound up paying back Jesse. So basically, this whole story is just to say Trekkies really are the best. You're the best, guys.
We got into the Bruce Horak line.
Met Bruce that day. That was a really cool experience because first we were in a pretty long line waiting for him to show up. We met our line buddy who eventually became our con pal. Are those terms?
The man, the myth, the legend, Aaron from the Bruce line.
Aaron from the Bruce line, as he's now known.
Of course, I have to mention Aaron from the Bruce line, which I believe is his last name, from the Bruce line. Everybody knows about line buddies at the con, right? Like when you go to a con, you make line buddies, you run into those people in other lines, you go, oh, hey, we have the same interests. It creates a little bit of a bond. Aaron from the Bruce line became more than a line buddy. He was a friend. Before he left Vegas, he had downloaded episodes.
It was really fun getting to meet him. And then, yeah, they said the line's breaking up.
Someone in line heard that Bruce wasn't coming for a while, so the line just disappeared. And
so we loitered. There's no other name for it, what we're doing. We were just loitering.
We were kind of standing around trying to figure out what to do next when suddenly Bruce showed up. So we hopped in like third in line. He did seem genuinely excited to meet us in person.
He's like, is this them? Is this the Open Pike Night crew? And there's the biggest smile on his face. I gotta say, if that had been the only time that happened at STLV, that would have been fantastic. But it was definitely not the only time because it happened with Chrissy.
This was not our final interaction with the Horak, though. No. Keep listening to find out what happened the next day.
And then it happened again with Celia. And then it happened again with Melissa. And then it happened again with Dan Janot. It was just great to see that the folks we've talked to on Open Pike Night were really happy to, like, genuinely happy to see us again, or they're just the greatest performers in history. Either way, felt good.
But Friday was the one day that Melissa Navia was going to be here, so hoo boy, everybody.
Headed over to the Melissa photo shoot. This is where it really ran into me realizing just how good Creation Entertainment is at pulling money out of people's wallets. You could buy photo op tickets. They were physical tickets, way nicer than they needed to be. I don't know why somebody would keep one of these as a souvenir, but they definitely printed them up like they were going to be a souvenir. And they said that each ticket was only good for two people to go up and get a photo. So if you wanted more than two people, you had to buy two photo op tickets. That is bullshit. That is really kind of a sleazebag move. And I would like to think that it was mainly Creation doing that. I would be surprised if every celebrity there knew that that was the deal, but that's a pretty crappy practice. The folks are already paying plenty of money to get these pictures, and to make them double pay if they're there in a group, that's not a great look, Creation. That's not a great look.
We get in line with her photo op. We're getting a bunch of photo ops. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm getting check off. That line was crazy.
But what was great is that we had a fantastic time just waiting in the line, chatting with people. It's amazing how much fun it is just to strike up a conversation with strangers in a line when you're all waiting for the same nerdy thing.
They were all wearing our big My Name Is, not just the stickers. We had big shirts. John had made big shirts, well, normal size shirts with a big kind of logo on the front.
John, Cam, Jesse, and I Fly the Ship emblazoned t-shirts with the Open Pike Night on the back. I was pretty happy with those, and man, were they getting a great reaction from folks just walking by, definitely starting a lot of conversations. So glad we had those. Glad we had the stickers. We were passing out stickers like crazy in the line. And then the moment came, we got to go up and we finally got to see Melissa in person. We were psyched to see her. Sure seemed like she was psyched to see us.
Big smile. She even has the photographer take two pictures with us, which is unheard of. Usually people are just being shuffled through this. But it's still going kind of at a blur, and we're like, hey, we'll see you later. Don't worry.
Joke's on you, Creation. We got two pictures anyway for our two-picture tickets. After that was time for the gauntlet.
So these are the regimented lines for autographs, and they are weird and intense.
If folks were sitting in tables in the merch room, you could walk up to their table without having bought a ticket ahead of time. Just pay right there and get your autograph, get your selfie, get whatever they were offering. If you were doing the managed tickets, you had to go to a separate table, buy the tickets. The tickets had numbers on them. You could also go online and do it digitally via PDF. For some reason, the PDF got precedence.
And no one really knows how they work, and they last forever and go way past when they were supposed to. But the person who went the most past was Melissa. So we kind of got in line near the end because we had to get Celia and I think Jess we were waiting on at the same time. Yep, Jess.
As we're getting up there, that's when the second really shady practice from Creation. They said, oh no, you have to have a ticket to go through this line. If you only have one ticket, only one person can go through. It's like, wow.
No. So even though Open Pike Night is like, you know, we're a unit. Is that a unit? Anyway, we are one. Not in the eyes of these people, no.
So if a parent is there with their kid, they have to buy two tickets to autograph so that they can meet a Star Trek actor with their kid, Creation? Come on, this is BS. Like, I don't like that practice. It really soured me on the way that Creation is running this convention. I don't care that it's 57 years old. In fact, I think that's a detriment to it. But this was another really just crappy way to treat people who were forking over lots of money to be there already. So we did rock, paper, scissors. Nah, I think Cam and Jesse just said, you know, you go, John. And so I got to go up and meet Celia. She was chatting with folks as she was signing, having a great time. Her handler was doing a great job. Every we call them handlers, the assistants. I'm not sure who. I wish I knew everybody's name. I don't. I know some of the folks were sharing handlers, so I don't know if they're working for the talent or if they were just licensed as I'll be your handler for this autograph. I'm not sure how that worked. I'm kind of curious because I met a couple of the same handlers for different talent. I got up there, laid out the apron, stopped in front of Celia and said, hey, it's John from Open Pike Night. And she gave me the biggest smile And she stood up, which she hadn't been doing with other people, and shook my hand and just thanked me for what we're doing with Open Pike Night, with bringing so many voices to the ears of the folks we interview. She said she appreciated hearing people asking her questions and telling her what an impact her performance has been having. And it was just a really meaningful moment to meet this person who is already inspiring so many people, and just have her pass some of that same feeling right on back to me. We went over to the Jess line after that. Melissa was also starting up, so I was also given Jess duty.
It was long and it was taking a while, and they even had to move us out of the room we were in because they're going to do a screening there. So we're all kind of winding through the halls of the convention, trying to stay in our spot.
Finishing up with Jess, I step out and the Melissa line is gone.
And we end up kind of snaked around this big hallway, and we're there for a long time. But we're meeting cool people and more new line buddies in line. Great time being had.
We got to talk to a really cool couple in line with us who apparently had met years ago at STLV and are now married and have just been attending. It was pretty sweet to get to talk to them for a while we waited.
Finally, we get up there, but only one person in with a ticket. So it was decided I was going to go in and try to use the old, you know, Cameron charm and see if we could get the rest of us in there at some point. So I go into the room, the line snakes into the room, and there's Melissa just having such a good, meaningful conversation with every person in line. Even though she'd been there for hours, she was just acting like she had just sat down. Her energy was infectious and great and warm and giving. So I go in there. Hey, Melissa. She smiles, lights up, signing the apron. I actually kind of freeze for a bit. I don't know what to do at this point. I just kind of talk about the line and, you know, say that I hope she had gotten to eat dinner. She hadn't. But I do, before I leave, I go, hey, yeah, you know, the rest of the guys are out there. Only one of us can come in. If we wait till everyone's done, can we just kind of, we just want to say hi. She goes, oh, yeah, for sure. Great. So I'm leaving the room, and I kind of make sure to kind of say loudly so all the handlers could hear, all right, well, we'll just wait till the end, and then we'll come back. All right, everybody, see, she said it's okay. So I leave the room, and we kind of get a big time the people in our line when I go up to John and Justin and be like, yeah, she said just wait till the end, and we can go back there. And I think some of the people didn't quite believe the in we had with some of the cast and crew.
And this was another moment where you could tell it hurt people the way Creation ran this. Because once the couple got up there, they had one ticket and they had to choose, and the wife went in while the husband stayed outside and waited with Jesse and I. You could really see that they're kind of hurt that they couldn't both go in and express their appreciation and meet one of their Star Trek heroes. So then his wife came out and she genuinely looked sad and said, I should have sent you in. And not sad that she had met Melissa, sad that they both couldn't. And then Cam came out.
Anyway, so we're standing there waiting for the line to finish up. We do get punked pretty hard by one of her handlers, who tells us that everyone left. Yeah, sorry guys, they all left. I don't know what to tell you.
He put on an Oscar-worthy performance. He made us believe it.
And I kind of believed it for half a second, but no, he was just messing with us, and it was done well. I have to appreciate the effort for there. So we all go back in there, and it was amazing. It was as amazing as you would hope. She did seem genuinely, it was just like meeting any of our, you know, our other Twitter friends or listeners we were meeting for the first time. Like, it felt like we had that good of a connection with her. She gave us each big hug, said hey, talked about her Mortegas mug and how she tries to take it to the different interviews and stuff, which was very sweet. We gave her a packet of stickers. We talked about the line, you know, I mean, she kind of seemed as miffed as anyone that it took so long. She was like, are other people just not talking to the people? And probably not as well as she is. I mean, some people don't really talk to the fans. Some talk a little bit. Apparently, Melissa, big talker. But, you know, that's what's great about her.
Joey, Melissa's handler, assistant guy, man, he was super awesome. I don't know all their names, but Joey was a great guy. He took some pictures of us as a group. We all got to give Melissa a big hug and just talk and realize, like, man, what a crazy ride it's been so far since the end of Strange New World season 1. And made plans to talk with her as soon as the strike is over or sometime during season three. And yeah, it was just really nice to be able to thank her in person for kind of being the impetus for interviews that we never planned on doing in the first place when we started Open Pike Night.
Yeah, I kind of tried to plant some seeds about getting dinner together. She didn't quite pick up on him, and I wasn't going to push it. So, you know, we all set our buys and look for another Melissa Navia interview in the future for sure.
Oh, and of course, there was the little instance where we stopped at the Chinese food restaurant on the way out of the Rio because we were just dead hungry.
We were starving.
And zero exaggeration, one table away from us was John DeLancey and Robert Picardo having dinner together.
That was cool. That counts.
Obviously, we didn't approach them because we're not that bad, okay? But it did just really serve to reinforce, like, this is a place where you can go to be among your people.
So yeah, we decided to do family style while sitting next to Q and the EMH. And we got some Mongolian beef and some ginger chicken, some pot stickers. And this is how tired I was when the plates came out. We had ordered a big one of ginger chicken because the server told us that was definitely the best one. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Ginger chicken comes with watercress. Asked Cam and Jesse, oh, you guys mind if I take some of the watercress? They both said, no, have it. Have all you want. Come on, guys. Watercress is good. So I dished up some chicken and watercress, took a big old bite. Nope. Nope. Pure ginger. Just pure ginger root. And yeah, so that took a minute to get over. But also,
you know, sitting there and having dinner with John and Cameron and talking about our day and talking about how big of an opportunity this is for the show and how we feel like we made a lot of connections and, you know, did a lot of networking while Q and the doctor sat one table away, just it made me feel like such a grown up, right? Like, I know I'm not, but it made me feel that way. And any experience that can do that is truly magical,
you know. I didn't get sick at the end of the convention, so hey, maybe mowing down several ounces of pure ginger root really helped.
When we got there, episode 9 had just come out, and everybody was, you know, we were trying to figure out, like, are these people going to be watching this on their phones? Like, how are people going to see this episode? And obviously some folks had laptops and stuff, but another shout out to producer John here because he had the foresight to bring a projector screen with.
Then we went upstairs and watched the musical episode. John had brought a portable projector. We watched it big on a wall with a bunch of friends who hadn't seen it yet.
Our good friend Jen, who is an amazing supporter, had a slight mishap with her room whereby the hotel upgraded her to a suite. I mean, coolest mistake ever, right? And she was gracious enough to invite a gaggle of us all up to her suite to watch the musical episode together, and that was just an absolute blast.
It was the Spyhards, it was Jin and her husband, it was
our friend Aaron from the Bruce line was there. It was just watching Star Trek with Trekkies is the best way to watch Star Trek. I'm just going to repeat that.
How do you beat that day? It was a good day. Well, let me introduce you to a little day called Saturday.
Usually when John, Cameron, and I are together, there's a lot of like movie references going on, like TV references, you know, pop culture things like that. And I feel like I usually get most of them. There's a slight age difference between me and the guys, and that's totally cool. I super respect them, and I actually really like learning from them about like media literacy and, you know, how to actually engage with stories and things like that. I don't always employ those because I feel like my job here is to be just an unabashed fanboy, you know, but I really do appreciate that from them. But we went to Denny's on, I think it was Saturday, for breakfast, and the waitress there had this very specific TV show that she couldn't remember. She was, you know, oh, you guys are Trekkies, very cool, are you in town for the convention? Of course you are, yeah. But then she started talking about this show, I think it was called Monsters, which I had literally never heard of. She's like, what was that show? It was on TV, and the little girl only had one eye, And I was immediately like, okay, this sounds terrible. Like, what is going on? Turns out, I think it was called Monsters, but it turns out that she was a Cyclops. That's why she had one eye. I was thinking like something awful, right? But it turns out that was by design. And Cameron and John lit up. They're like, oh my God, I totally remember that show. Like, we all Googled it. I confirmed that I had never heard or seen anything of this show in my life. But the point is, like, even the people there that weren't huge Trekkies were just super passionate people, right? Like, I've never been to Vegas. I didn't know you could live there. I thought you could only visit there. But this waitress was like super talkative, very warm, incredibly sweet. And she spent 10-15 minutes just hanging out with us, talking about all the TV that we used to watch as kids and like ragging on bosses, right? Like, that's always a fun thing to do. And I just there was no part of this entire trip that I didn't have a blast with.
So after a good breakfast at Denny's and some walk down TV memory lane, we made our way slowly back through the Rio.
So right off the bat, we kind of show up, didn't have quite as much of a plan. We had gotten most of the autographs we needed. And we thought, well, even though we'd gotten Anson's autograph, we had to meet him. We had to say hi to him there. I mean, our podcast is named after his character. So we decided to get in his vendor room line for a selfie.
We were in line to see him, and we thought, you know, okay, we'll just get a selfie because we already have his signature on the apron, so we don't need to worry about that. So we're in line, and the guy behind us was wearing a Strange New Worlds uniform. He had the phaser, like full cosplay. We're like, hey, man, do you want some of our podcast stickers? And he just went, no, like flat no. So we're like, oh, okay, sorry for asking. But it was really, really cool because about 5 minutes later,
as we get up to his handler, we find out that, oh, selfies aren't allowed. Not even for open pike night, I say. Not quite that smugly, but close.
And she laughed and said, I love you guys.
Which, that was cool.
But I can't, because if I do it for you, then I gotta do it for everybody else. We're like, okay, that's totally cool. And she goes, but you can talk to him if you want. Just say hi and chat a little bit. So we're like,
well, that works. That's all we wanted to do. And now we don't have to pay $60. Great. So another chance to kind of big time the person behind us who really didn't want anything to do with our podcast. It's funny. Some people just do not want stickers from a podcast. But he definitely heard us get to go up and say hi. The funny thing here, all three of us were online, but John had just heard the part where we couldn't get selfies and he disappeared to make a call or something.
As soon as Christy, Anson's awesome assistant, told Cam and Jesse, no, we can't do selfies, I boogied out because, breakfast hit, coffee hit.
So it was just me and Jesse looking around, where'd John get? Well, we better go talk to Anson. So we get up there, we talk to him a bit about the convention. He asks if we were there working. My mind starts to go into Cam over-explaining mode, and I was about to start talking about how we couldn't get press passes, but yada, yada, yada.
And I feel like on the left side of my head, I could feel Cameron about to say no. So I just jumped in and said, yes, we are.
Thankfully, Jesse just jumps in very smartly and acutely and goes, yes, we are. We're working. Great. Want to get together for 5 minutes later? Yes, Mr. Anson Mount. Yeah, I think we could fit that in. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, we were blown away by that. And I think my favorite part about it was that the guy in line behind us that didn't want our stickers just saw Anson Mount offer us an interview. So it was like, you know, everything works out as long as you just have faith of the heart, I guess, right?
So that was cool. We got his handler's info. And for the next few hours, we're just kind of like in a holding pattern waiting to hear when Anson would be free for a quick 5 minutes.
So after a quick break, Anson had some lunch delivered. That might be overselling it a little bit. But he met us in the back room, the storage room. There was like all these stacked chairs and tables and stuff.
The back hallways were vast, cathedral-like. The air handlers working overtime to keep up with the press of humanity in the conference hall. We sat on an electric cart, abandoned, surrounded by stacks of tables,
a lone chair sits in the middle of the floor in front of us. If it had eyes, or a mouth, or emotions, it would be accusing us. From down the hall, we hear the sound of cowboy boots approaching. And then a voice, smooth as the hair atop the man's head, says, "I hear you want to talk." And with the sound of a Coke Zero can being opened and Snickers mini wrappers crackling because the convention wasn't feeding the talent very well, Anson Mount sits down to talk with Open Pike Knight.
And he really gave us, like, I mean, you heard the interview. He really sat down with us and talked to us and thought about what we said and thought about what he said.
We were able to talk to him, not about Strange New Worlds, but, you know, the convention and his life and what he's been up to. And, yeah, it was just good kind of making that connection with Anson Mount. He left. He said he could, you know, if we wanted to talk to any of the cast, he could make it happen. We didn't take him up on that just yet, but, you know, it's good to have that in our pocket. It was a really cool moment with Mr. Anson Mount there.
And that's, like, he set the bar for my first ever Star Trek convention and trip to Las Vegas really high. And I'm not going to speak for John and Cameron, but I know that they agree that that was a huge highlight of our trip. So I was just beside myself with joy. And as we were leaving that interview, we walked out of a staff-only entrance into the crowd. And it was just like, you guys, I feel like we've just walked into, like, the next level of being a Strange New Worlds podcast, right? Like, it felt amazing.
Here's what you need to understand about LeVar Burton. He's every bit as cool as you think he is. He's every bit as awesome as you think he is. He's a really good group selfie taker. I believe we posted the picture online somewhere, but that is LeVar Burton's handiwork, taking a picture with all of Open Pike Knight. But yeah, LeVar Burton, man, that was absolutely meeting a childhood hero, both reading Rainbow and TNG, and just another great experience for Saturday.
We went back to Bruce Horak's line because we realized it was his birthday that day. So we just went up wanting to wish him happy birthday. I think I said something like, oh, yeah, I was hoping there'd be a big line that we could all sing happy birthday to you at. But you don't want to hear just the three of us, at which point he just kind of folded his arms, sat back and looked at us and like, what are you going to do? Not sing happy birthday to Bruce Horak at that point? No, we sang happy birthday to him. And that was super cool. I think we got a few other people to chime in. Not a lot, but yeah, it was a nice little moment with him.
So we collected some thoughts about episode 9 from the con floor. People had started watching it while they were there. We decided to go back to our room and fired up the projector because we had gotten our screener for episode 10, Hegemony. And by God, Open Pike Knight was going to watch a new episode of Strange New Worlds together for the first time ever. To find out what we thought about it, go listen to our episode on Hegemony. It's just a couple episodes back, and check out the retrospectives while you're at it. Then it was time to party. Open Pike Night Con Karaoke number 2.
All of our listeners who had sounded down to karaoke earlier had starting to drop one by one, and for totally understandable reasons. You know, I mean, we had kind of just guessed when would be a good time and where would be a good place.
Our second Uber driver did not speak to us at all. Like, zero interaction. He didn't have the radio on. It was just get in the car, silently drive to karaoke, and then get out.
So it was just us, and Aaron from the Bruce line showed up, and it was all right. It was kind of a weird little place, but you know, you could plug in your phone and play any karaoke you could find on YouTube. So that was cool.
I had found this highly rated little off-strip karaoke place, I guess kind of in Chinatown, not entirely sure. And we got there, told them, hey, I have the VIP room booked. So we had a nice big space. And they said, oh, somebody else booked it. This place was great. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to say I'm pretty sure I was the one who had booked it. And maybe they had not put my name down or something like that. They put us in a medium room, cut us a deal. The three of us and Aaron from the Bruce line, we cranked through our songs. I sang some Alanis Morissette, some Tears for Fears, some Eve 6, all the classics.
But yeah, you know, we knew we four could have a good time. But then Ben and Adam showed up with a couple of their friends of DeSoto in tow. And yeah, it just took it to a whole another level.
Ben and Adam from Greatest Trek and Greatest Generation, you guys really helped that turn into a real party and a truly memorable thing that none of us will ever forget. But when Ben and Adam showed up, they also had their producer Wendy with them.
Pretty much just after the Greatest Trek crew showed up, they told us, hey, whoever had the VIP room booked, me, they never showed up. Do you guys want us to move you in there? So you, hell yes. When they say, do you want us to move you to the VIP room? You say yes. When they say, do you want to go back and interview Anson Mount in the back hall? You say yes. When Melissa Navia says, stick around, you say yes. So damn right. We headed into the VIP room.
They brought the party. It was an incredible night of karaoke and rice wine. And I forgot the name of this drink that John introduced me to, but it was like Capri Suns.
Cam is a soju convert.
But alcoholic. And yeah, I am not good at karaoke, but with a little of that liquid courage, I still got up and sang some The Touch from the Transformers and a little We Don't Need Another Hero. Yeah, I did Tina Turner. What was I thinking?
And we just had a great night of karaoke. I want to just shout out everybody who got up and sang, which was literally everybody who came, got up, sang. And I think they really appreciated that Open Pike Night karaoke is literally about just having fun and blowing off steam from a long convention. But especially shout out to Wendy Pretty, producer of Greatest Trek. She has got a hell of a singing voice. That lady can sing. We only got one song from her that wasn't part of one of the group songs, but man, the highlight of the night was, well, one, introducing Cam to Soju, two, all the amazing karaoke, and three, the sign of the bathroom that said, if you're going to throw up, please don't throw up in the sink. Please throw up in the toilet, which, you know what? That's just good advice.
Great time had by all. You know, I think it was the right number of people with the right attitude. It had really, really good time with those guys.
Helped Jesse sing Turn the Page. I feel pretty good about my rendition of I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas. Felt like I brought the room down. Everybody was in tears for some reason, even though it's kind of an upbeat song. Jen did a great job. Rustin did a great job. Adam, Ben, Wendy, Cam, Jesse, just a freaking great party.
As we left karaoke, John called us an Uber because he's the adult, and this really nice Tesla pulled up. And, you know, we're all post karaoke, so we're not 100%. We didn't 100% have our wits about us. So it took us a second to figure out how to open the doors because it is not apparent if you have never been in that particular Tesla how the doors are supposed to open from the outside, but we did figure it out. Now, that Tesla driver, super cool, like sweetest guy. He was, you know, how are you guys enjoying Vegas? Here's where I think you should go if you're into this kind of food. Here's where you should go if you're into this kind of food. Maybe go check out this show. He actually keyed us into a place called Secret Pizza, and I was like, okay, I need to know what that is. Turns out it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a pizza place that doesn't have any signage. It's in the Cosmo, I believe. And you walk all the way past like the VIP line and the ballroom. And then there's just an unmarked hallway to the left. And if you go down this hallway about 40 feet, there at the end of that is a tiny little secret pizza place. And wow, was it good. Now, my body disagrees with that assessment. I think it was a combination of rice wine and pizza late at night that really started messing with me the next morning, but that's okay because the next morning was Sunday. It was our last day there. So I was like, you know what? If I can just maintain and get through these next couple hours, everything is going to be fine. And it was. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
I just realized we ate pizza 2 out of the 3 nights there. That's a little ridiculous. It was good pizza. It was better than the pinup pizza on the strip. This massive wooden door down this hallway that's completely lined walls and ceiling with all Italian LP sleeves. That was a pretty cool setup.
Got some secret pizza. Shh.
I cannot remember where the fourth Uber driver was. He must have been Friday night after we walked the strip to get dinner, because this guy, like, completely misread our group. Like, we are three, you know, cishet white dudes of a certain age and we didn't have our wives with us or girlfriends or anything. So I kind of think maybe part of what he did was like a defensive tactic, because he was thinking like, okay, these guys are getting in my car. I don't know them. Like, what if they're dangerous? I don't think we project danger, but as soon as we get into this guy's car, he's like, what do you need? Hookers? Do you need blow? Like, what is it? What can I get for you? And we all laughed, you know? But then the conversation just kept going, and it kind of seems like he was totally serious about that. And it was like, man, we are not the crowd for this. Like, we're Trekkies here for the Star Trek convention. Like, don't worry about it. We're just trying to get back to our hotel, right? And he was really nice. He, you know, I think he was probably running through a script, right? Like, when you pick up three guys that you can't tell if they're with anybody, here's what you offer and make more money. I don't know. Again, I've never been to Vegas, and I'm a little naive, I guess. But he was nice. It was just like, we got the whole gamut of Uber drivers. So I thought that was pretty funny.
And then crashed hard that night. And then Sunday was pretty low key. You know, we were leaving that afternoon.
Took our sweet time. Went and found breakfast at another place.
We had the Greatest Trek pool parties.
The Pranica Cabanica, which of course is, again, shout out to Ben and Adam from Greatest Trek and Greatest Generation. They rented out the cabana at the Rio, and we got to hang out with them and Wendy and all of the friends of DeSoto in the pool. And, I mean, talk about a diverse group of fans. Like, people are coming from all over the country to see those guys and meet up with them. And all kinds of backgrounds, too, like teachers and investment bankers and just people from all walks of life showing up to love Star Trek together and, you know, talk about how much they love the Greatest Trek and Greatest Generation. I had a lot of fun. I probably should have worn sunscreen.
I got torched in that pool. I knew I was.
Got a little bit of sunburn.
That was probably the one absolutely huge mistake that I made. I was like, you know what? We're only going to be out here for like 30, 40 minutes. I'm going to be in the pool. It's totally fine. It was not. I was just absolutely ravaged by sunburns across my shoulders and most of my face.
But yeah, I realized like, oh yeah, there's a pool here. Nice. That's a good way to relax in Vegas.
But it was totally worth it. We had a lot of fun. Everybody there was very sweet, incredibly generous, and we got to be in a big group photo with everybody at the end. And I just feel like we made so many friends at Star Trek Las Vegas this year that we absolutely have to go back next year. That's really all there is to it.
We'll have to do more of that next year. Kind of did one final round saying bye to everyone. We kind of had this last minute, like, hey, we're standing here. Doug Jones just showed up and smiled very sweetly to us as he walked by, and his line's not huge, and I've got an extra $40. Hey, guys, let's all just go get a selfie with Doug Jones. So the three of us, Aaron from the Doug line, not the Doug line, the Bruce line. What line were you in, Aaron? Well, you did join us on the Doug line. We all got up there. It was the best $40 I'd ever spent. This was the way to end this trip. Guys, if you ever have the chance to get a selfie with Douglas P. Jones, I don't know what his middle name is, do it. He cradles your soul when he hugs you. I've never been hugged that way. And then he cradles your face and he just says these wonderful things to you. And he spends all this time just saying hello to each person in the group. And then he says right off the bat, okay, guys, we're going to do three selfies. What do you want to do? And so we do these great selfies. You know, we just do one standard one. We're kind of speechless. And so he has to take over and be like, okay, everybody, cradle someone's face, because that's how Doug Jones rolls. And when you're with Doug Jones, do as Doug Jones does. So we all cradled faces. And then I was like, well, we got to do a vampire one, because Shadow of the Vampire, not Shadow of the Vampire. What vampire show is he in? Anyways, he's in that one that I haven't watched yet, but I know he is. So we do a vampire one, and that's a lot of fun. And then we all go home.
It was time to take Cam and Jesse back to the airport to fly home. I wasn't leaving quite yet because I had one more autograph ticket in my pocket, and he wasn't signing until after they'd got on their planes. Went back from the airport to the Rio. Not a terrible drive. It's not like this is a very long drive at all. Got there. Saw a few people. It was definitely an emptier day, and I got in line for the autograph from Dan Janot. He was going pretty quick. He had the same handlers that Jess had had the day before. I got up there. drop the apron. The handler's like, hey, I recognize this. Dan recognized me. We talked a little bit. I gave him the secret sign that I had seen the final episode and now understood his one word tease. And he got excited about that. We shook hands, thanked him for his work on the show. And it was great to see him, and a fantastic way to close out the round of autographs at the Rio. But you know what? I do want to shout out the same two folks who had been there with Creation Entertainment at Melissa's signing, including the one who played the prank on us of, hey man, she left. They both tried to get me a Paul Wesley signature for the apron. For all the issues I have with Creation, I definitely isn't with any of the employees on the floor. I was glad to hear they were getting paid this year. Apparently it's been a lot of volunteering in the past, but Sunday afternoon was a really interesting experience seeing things close out. I mean, that was the day Shatner spoke. It was just a strange kind of denouement. If you've ever been at a big convention or a camp or something, you get that camp sadness at the end of the week when you got to go home. There was a little bit of that.
And that was the end of a magical weekend, but not the end of the story. Because I posted that Doug Jones picture to Twitter, and I tagged him in it. And a few days later, he did like it, but also the photographer retweeted it and said, yes, me and my husband were at Star Trek Las Vegas. As an added bonus, you may have gotten us taking one of your pictures with Doug. That photographer, Carrie Hinn, who's mostly known for playing Newt in Aliens. Mostly.
I, of course, would be remiss if I didn't shout out everybody that we met there from social media that we know listens to the show. Jesse from Crusher Convo, Deb, Delana, Thad, Adam, Ben, Aaron from the Bruce line. There were so many people. Jen, of course, and Jen's incredibly patient husband who allowed 9 people into his suite to watch the musical episode. I miss you guys already, and I cannot wait until Star Trek Las Vegas 2024, because I feel like we really have a special group of friends and supporters and listeners around this show. And I can't wait for a chance to really pay back some of that generosity and to just be in the same room again as people that love what we love. Jen wore our Gornhub t-shirt around the con floor like all day one day. Like that takes guts and is deeply touching, right? Like you're wearing our stupid joke shirt in a place where people are going to ask you, hey, where did you get the stupid joke shirt? I would like to have one. So I would say that the big three things for me from Star Trek Las Vegas 2023 that I walked away with were gratitude, new friends, and anticipation for next year. You guys, I cannot wait to see everyone next year at Star Trek Las Vegas 2024.
I obviously have my issues with Creation Entertainment, but I have no issues at all with the amazing people we met there, both old friends, old fans, listeners, supporters, especially our patron supporters, but also all the new friends. I mean, yes, was it fantastic getting to actually be face to face with all these performers and talent that we have had a chance to interview and are looking forward to having chances to interview? Yeah, but that wasn't the highlight. The real highlight was seeing so many people who just love Star Trek. I think STLV has a ticking clock on it unless they start to modernize and make a lot of changes. But you know what? There will always be another convention that forms after that, because ultimately the one thing Trekkies will always do is live long and prosper.